Praise the Lord, and hello again. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We've been reading from a piece of literature that I've written several years ago, entitled God Taught Me the Secret of Spiritual Defense, or in other words, God is our defense, so the spiritual defense is God's power living in and through us. And we have quite a bit of things here to say. We've got about two or three letters of people that have been saved or are winning souls through the literature that the Lord has given me. And also we'll be reading a little bit from Psalms and from the book of Revelation. And we're going to try to conclude that God taught me the secret of spiritual defense, which is part five. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint outwardly to make this tape blessed, not only to us here, but to the hearers, those that have a spiritual ear to hear the things of the Lord, because they too are blessed if they hear, if they don't disregard the things that the Lord is saying. If they pay strict attention to what He says. Father God, we pray that You'll open the windows of heaven, and I can feel them already open, to receive this prayer for spiritual blessings, benediction, that You anoint this service and bring salvation to those that are lost and spiritual power to those in the church, the body of Christ, which is the New Jerusalem. There are people in the world that are trying to trademark the word New Jerusalem, and it's just amazing that people think that they can trademark anything of the Word of God. The Word of God is something that is to be preached by everyone, and it should be everybody's trademark, not just one person. So, Father God, we pray that You will do all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, so where's the first letter from?
From Ibadan, Oyo State, Nigeria, Africa.
Let's hear what they have to say.
When I distributed Pastor Lama's literature to my fellow workers, most of them accepted Christ as their personal Savior. In fact, you must continue to spread the good news to the world. But some of them are complaining that they did not have enough money to buy a Bible. For this reason, I request that you please send me 4 Bibles so that I can distribute it to them. May God continue to work through your ministry, Mr. Bello from Ibadan, Oyo State, Nigeria, Africa.
Praise the Lord. It wasn't long ago that we purchased a tractor trailer, a semi-trailer, and a half load of Bibles. And we need to check the inventory because they're going very fast to see. We have to order them in advance. We don't want to wait until we run out before we begin ordering again. If we're halfway down, we need to start ordering again. All right, and then what's the next letter?
The next letter is from Gualeguaychú, Argentina.
Okay.
Dear esteemed servant of God, thank you for sending me the Bible and the literature. They are being distributed to the prison of the city of Gualeguaychú and Concepción del Uruguay, the province of Entre Los Ríos. Thank you for your literature. Your literature is uplifting and changing lives. The people here are giving their lives to the Lord. Your testimony of your life and your preaching makes the blind to see the true Word of God. Send me more materials, and please, if you would be able to send me any form of help, whatever the Lord may put upon your heart. I am asking for the purpose of helping keep up with the milk that we feed to 25 children. The funds would also go towards the temple that we are building. We bless you, servant of God, Pastor Perinetti from Gualeguaychú, Entre Rios, Argentina.
All right, praise the Lord. And now, so we will pray to the Lord that He will let us bless them. I know He will. And they will be blessed. And that we pray that God will bless them every way there is. Now, where's the next letter from?
from Benin City, Nigeria, Africa.
Okay, let's hear what they have to say.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, Calvary greetings to you and the members of your ministry. I have just received your letter through my postal address. Please, over 43 pastors have registered with your ministry, Tony Alamo Christian Ministries in the USA, in my office here in Benin City, Nigeria. Since I started distributing your literature, Bibles, and Christian books to other churches, there have been so many testimonies from pastors and churches of what the Lord has done for them. I have already opened an office in my office complex to distribute your literature and other materials to other churches. 43 churches have already registered with your ministry here in Benin. God bless you and your ministries. We are praying for you here. I need more materials for distribution in His service. Reverend Austin from Benin City, Nigeria, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Okay, is that all the letters?
Yes.
All right, let's start reading from the 11th chapter of Revelation. Now, those of you that are lovers of the Word of God, that your mind is stayed upon Him, and your treasures are in heaven. I pray that God will open your ears to hear the things here. Now, this passage opens up where the Lord is telling the Apostle John to measure, and for his saints to measure the people in the churches. In the church, there's only one true church, that's the body of Christ. Those are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear so few ministers mentioning the blood of Jesus. They're just afraid that will offend people because they think that it may cause people to believe that this is a bloody ministry. Well, without the blood of Jesus, without applying the blood of Jesus to your heart, there's no way that you can be saved, because only the precious blood of Jesus can take away the sins from a soul. Some of these false churches say that you can say Hail Marys and Our Fathers. That will take away sin. Only the blood of Jesus takes away sin. Or they may say that you can light candles and that will take away sin. That won't take away sin. Or so many of them believe that fasting will take away sin. That won't. Only the blood of Jesus takes away sin. Or they feel if you afflict yourself by beating your rear end with a cat of nine tails until you bleed, or that if you walk on your knees on gravel with your children in your arms to the Lady of Guadalupe, that will cause you to all your sins to go away. Or if you're poor, poverty-stricken, that will make your sins go away. No, none of these things, or anything else. Or if you do good deeds to people, it's nice to do good deeds to them if you give them food and clothing and water, and if you give tithes to the body of Christ. Those are good things, but even that will not save your soul. It will not take your sins away. Only faith in the blood of Jesus will take your sins away. And then after your sins are taken away, the Lord commands us to be very truthful to the people of the world, and that we're supposed to witness and testify to people and tell them of their sins, and so that they become under conviction and that they will repent of their sins, and then they'll begin serving the Lord. And we are to tell them that once you're saved, you cannot sin any longer. Because if your eye is single, now this means metaphorically that if your eye, the Lord says, if your eye is single, then the light of your eye is the light of the body. That just simply means if your eye is single, or if there's only one purpose in your life, and that is to serve the Lord, well then, you will be perfect. And that means that you don't have all different ideas of things in the world. Your mind is not on the things of the world. And the Bible says for us that we that are pastors first to judge with the word of God, not our own judgment, the people that are in the church. And if some of them say they're saved and they go out and get drunk, or they commit adultery, or they go out and they get on drugs, and if they don't raise their children to the point to where they don't take drugs or alcohol, and if you keep your children from committing fornication so they don't get pregnant, and then commit abortion. But what I see, you know, is a lot of people that are in churches. Well, what we're supposed to do if they do those things is to put them out of the church. We're not to sympathize with them and have counsel with them and say, well, now that was wrong, and we're now we just want you to depend on us because we're the pastors and we forgive you. But that isn't what the Bible says. We're not to depend on that kind of a pastor. I just saw Billy Graham's daughter on James Robeson's program today, and they were all just saying, yes, all Christians are sinners. And she was mentioning how her son was on drugs, and she went and comforted him, and how she herself was married and it didn't work out, and then she impulsively got married to somebody else about 6 months later, and she got married, and that was a horrible thing for her to do because she wasn't depending on the Lord. She was just depending on her emotions, and she didn't mention that she didn't depend on the Lord. She said so she wants a lot of people to depend on her, that her way of thinking is right. She just says, I think this, and she said, I think that, and I think this, and I think that, and I think, and Billy Graham says, I think this, and I... We don't want to know Mrs. Graham, or Miss Graham, or Mr. Graham, what you think. We want to know what the Lord says, amen, what he not only thinks, but says, amen?
Amen.
And so when there's two witnesses that come on the scene here, and they start telling people the actual truth, she also mentioned that she had a daughter. I think that she said she got pregnant, you know, out of wedlock, and that she had an eating disorder. In other words, she didn't want to say she's a glutton. She just wanted to say she has an eating disorder. Isn't that something? Well, you know, she's given to food. But anyway, and then Robeson is just always, oh yes, I think you're the most marvelous and brave person because you tell that you're a sinner, but yet you also say you're a Christian. But you know, the Bible says when we really become Christians, we really become born again of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit of God and washed in His blood, that we're not sinners anymore, that we are sons of God. And I don't only think, but the Bible says that if we're a son of God, we don't sin anymore. Amen?
Amen.
And like if my son left this ministry and got on drugs, I don't want to see him, okay? I'm putting him out because the Bible tells me to do that. The Bible says, who is my brother? Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Those that serve the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength are my sons and daughters, and my wife, and my mother, and my father, my dad. But the ones that keep the commandments of the Lord, these are my brothers and sisters. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, the Bible says that these two witnesses are going to be saying the same thing that I'm saying. And for that, the people of the world are going to hate them. They're going to hate these two witnesses so much that they're actually going to send presents one to another because they hate the gospel. They, in other words, the gospel is God. They hate God with a purple passion. They hate Him so much that they want to see these two people killed. And when they are killed, Satan raises up and kills them. They rejoice. They call it a holiday. And they start thanking God They think they're thanking God, but they're actually thanking their God, the devil. And they start sending presents to one another as though it's like a Christmas or something. But then after 3 days, the Lord raises them up from the dead, just as the Holy Spirit rose Jesus from the dead. And then these two witnesses are taken up into the kingdom of heaven in a cloud, just as the Lord Jesus Christ was taken in a cloud, to give everybody in the world at that time, and the Bible says the whole world will see them. The only way that would be possible would be on television. And in the day and time that these scriptures were written, there was no television, and nobody knew but the Holy Spirit that there would be a way for everyone in the world to see these events take place. And so people actually taught that it's just good to whimper and simper over sinners. But the Lord in these scriptures tell you to put them out and let them know just exactly what it's going to be when they stand at the judgment bar of God, or they try to get into the kingdom of heaven. The door of the gate of the kingdom of heaven is going to be slammed in their rotten faces. Okay? And Miss Graham and Billy Graham, no matter how highly esteemed, the Bible says, beware that we're not highly esteemed by man, that we're supposed to be esteemed by God. Everybody just thinks that Billy Graham and his offspring are gods, but yet they're drug addicts, fornicators, and completely impulsive. And they're not at all. And the same thing with Billy Graham. They asked him if he thought that homosexuals would go to hell, and he says, I just don't know. Well, for God's sake, Billy Graham, read the Bible. All right? The Bible says for sure they're going to hell and to the lake of fire. Now, I mean, you people out there that despise what I'm saying, you'll probably be the ones, without a doubt, that'll be sending presents one to another to rejoice when the two witnesses of God that are taken into the kingdom of heaven, just as the Lord Jesus Christ was. Those are God's two witnesses. They're mentioned throughout the Bible. And you'll be the ones. But woe unto you, people, that think that you can just get by with sin. Start reading this where it talks about measuring the people in the church to see if they line up with the Word of God, where there is no sin shall enter the kingdom of God. People that must be spotless, without spot and blemish. The actual attention of believers is directed immediately toward treasures in heaven, not here on earth. And we're not at all interested in people exalting us like they do Billy Graham. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes or his daughter's shoes or her son's shoes for all the money in the world when I stand before God. I want to go down as one that is not saying that sin is all right and that God understands and will say, well done, if you're unfaithful. The Bible says if your eye be singled, that means that it's devoted to only one service, one purpose, and that is to find out what God says and you let him direct your life, and that you submit yourself unto his direction. If your eye is single, that means that you, a person's eye is single, is devoted to one purpose. And that purpose is to find out what the Lord God wants you to do and that you do it. If a man's spiritual sight is healthy and his affections are directed to heavenly treasures, his entire being or personality will be without blemish or spot. In other words, you will not be getting married to one person after the other. In other words, your son will not be getting on drugs, because you will tell him the truth and you will learn the truth. You'll study the truth. One of the things that Billy Graham stated on open television is, they said, is there anything that you could look back at in this world that you would have done if you had it all to live over again? He said, yes, I would have studied more because I don't really know the Bible that well. And that is for sure. I thank God for his honesty on that issue. Okay, so we have to be totally dependent on God, not on each other. She wants everybody to come and be dependent on her ugly way of thinking. That, oh, you know, if you've committed fornication and if you're pregnant, or if you've committed adultery and or fornication and you've aborted a child, well, then come to me and I will lift you up. In other words, she wants you to be dependent on her rather than God. If you were in my church and you went out and got pregnant and without being married, and without being married to a godly person, you would not be in my church any longer. That's the way our church is. It's very strict, and that's why you only see a few million people in it worldwide. But because most people, they don't even want to come and visit us because they know that we are decided to just depend on God. Now, but these people have dependencies on one another, and that's destructive dependencies. They never, not once did I hear her say, well, look, you need to depend on God's word. She says, I've written these books, and if you read these books, you'll understand. Instead of directing people to the Bible and telling people, read the Bible, and you can be 100% dependent on the Lord. Anything other than that is destructive dependencies. If you're dependent on Mr. Robeson or Billy Graham or anybody, or even me, you don't have anything. You must depend upon the Lord. And what I'm preaching tonight is the Lord and His Word. Okay, so let's begin now with chapter 11. This is regarding the two witnesses of the Lord.
Go ahead. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod.
Now, this is John the Revelator, John the Beloved, the one who wrote the Gospel of John, and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, and also Book of Revelation through the Holy Spirit. Then what?
And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God.
Okay, now, who is the temple of God? You are the temple of God. We have to measure every person that is a temple of God or says they're temples of God. And we measure them by the word of God. In other words, we judge them. We have to judge ourselves, too, with the word of God. The Lord tells us to judge ourselves and then shapen up by the word of God, judge ourselves with the word of God. And when we see that we are proper, then we are capable of judging others by the word of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we can take the least esteemed person in the church, somebody that's really newly saved, and have them read the Bible. And the Bible is extremely plain and simple. Thou shalt not commit fornication. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You shall not be drunk. No drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you do, well, you just put yourself out of the house of God. Read it again, because okay. I cut in, and they might forget what you just read.
Okay. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein.
Okay, so the altar is the heart of people. And those that worship inside the Lord. I mean, the Lord wants to spew them out of his mouth. Those that were in his body, but they are not there to stay because they sin and they're lukewarm Even lukewarmness is sin enough for Christ to cast you out of his body if you're not on fire for God. That is a horrible sin, a sin enough for him to spit you out of his body. Then what?
Verse 2, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not.
Don't measure that, because it's immeasurable. It's the world. Then what?
For it is given unto the Gentiles.
Okay, so the outside world is given to the unbelievers, the Gentiles. Then what?
And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months.
What is the holy city? Well, it's for sure it's Israel, but we also it's Jerusalem, and it is we are the new Jerusalem. And they will, if you put them out of the church, they will definitely trample you. There we had, I think I had between, I was around 15 people that sent me to prison on false accusations. They were paid by the government to testify falsely against me. I also, they tried to prove that I was preaching wrong things, so the government spliced a tape together. And they did not realizing that we save all my tapes. And they made it say stuff and it still wasn't saying anything wrong. But we had the original tapes and we played them in court and I was found not guilty. That's how wicked this Antichrist government is. They'll actually splice tapes together hoping to find some fault in what you said. If they can't find it, they'll splice things hoping that the jury will misunderstand, because they figure that most juries are in darkness. They know that they're lost. Okay, then what?
Verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses.
And God will give power unto his two witnesses. Power? Power to do what? Okay, let's hear.
And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth.
That means they'll be fasting. When you put on sackcloth and ashes, that means that you're in a fast. Now, a lot of people go into a fast and they want everybody to know they're on a fast. That isn't a spiritual fast that is condoned by the Lord. What it is mere acting. That's all it is. Because they're... fasting does not require spectators. If you are wanting people to see you fast, then all you're doing is acting in front of mankind. But what you're supposed to do is anoint your head with oil and your face and make yourself smile and be happy when you're doing that, because you know that that is the true fast unto the Lord, that you're fasting unto God, not acting for people to see, to show them how, quote, godly, unquote, you are. The spiritual issues of fasting, one of them, again, is not, there's no requirement for spectators. You're not supposed to require that you have spectators to watch you do that. The attention of the believer must be, again, directed towards treasures in heaven. And if you will not put on an act for people, well, then you're storing up treasures in heaven. It doesn't mean that you're meriting them, but you're just doing the Lord's work, and for that he gives you the rewards of a stockpile of treasures in the kingdom of God, for not despising his word or trying to come up with this simpering, whimpering, supposed to be gospel that Billy Graham, his daughter, and their kids, and all these other ministers are saying is correct. It is not correct. We are to be totally dependent on the Lord. and we're to have our eye single, our eye full of light. In other words, our eye full of just one purpose, and that purpose is to please God. Then what?
Verse 4. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth.
Mentioned in the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament. They stand before the devil, who is the God of the entire earth, and the entire Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist is a corporate body of people that say they're Christians, but they absolutely hate the real gospel. They think that it's all right to sin and they're going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. But the Bible tells us that there can't be one blemish, one spot or blemish on our souls. We must be directed toward keeping God's commandments. Okay, next.
Verse 5. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth.
And right. Now the fire that comes out of their mouth and devours them is the word of God. And I've seen many people die and just fold up when the words are issued out of my mouth. Because what I'm preaching is powerful. It's the most powerful double-edged sword in the whole world. And this weakness, we're weak, but if we're in the Lord, we're more than conquerors. And I don't care if it's Billy Graham or Mohaji Baba or any other person on the face of this earth or Pat Robertson or anyone else that has to keep apologizing. You never see the Lord Jesus Christ apologizing to anybody. He preaches the word, and if we're in Christ and it's Him talking through us, we don't have to apologize to anybody because it's the word of God. And that's what it is. All right, then what?
And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed.
Right, so that's why when people have come against us, I've seen them killed. And it's by cancer. There was, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the air before, but there is a man out in Elma, Arkansas. His name was Metters. They have the Metters Motels, and they also built a lot of post offices around the state of Arkansas and maybe elsewhere. And they were passing out bad literature, false stories about Sue and myself. And I'm legally blind, and she had cancer, and he caught cancer in his eyes and died from it. And there's just hundreds of cases like that. I've mentioned maybe 50 of them on the air and in my pieces of literature that the Lord has given me. And you don't dare rise up against these two witnesses because they're out, the living God is living in them. And very few other people on the face of this earth. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 6. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy.
And I told you that whenever I want it to stop raining, it does stop raining. Can you testify to that?
Amen, I can.
Okay, and when I want it to rain, it will rain.
Amen.
Okay, so I have power over there, so the Lord told Sue and myself that we were. And to me, that doesn't... I wouldn't care if I was just just obedient Christian. That's all I want to be. Even if I barely get into heaven, I just pray that I'll be in there. And I would be satisfied to be in there blind, naked, and little. Because I want to please God. I just don't want to go to hell. And if you do, well, then you're crazy. Okay, then what?
And have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them.
This is the beast, which is the Antichrist. And they've been warring with us for a long time, Sue and myself. I never saw such demonic activity in my life. During the time, like I said, when I first got saved, before I was saved, everybody loved me. After I got saved, I mean, I never saw hell break loose like that in my life. I didn't really believe in the devil that much until the Lord saved my soul. After that, I saw newspaper articles. We have so many bushel baskets of newspaper articles in the New York Times, the Daily News, the Los Angeles Times, huge pictures of myself saying this man promises everlasting life, but some of his followers say that he is does something to them, I forget. And I mean, I was just innocently learning the Bible. And I didn't know very much of it at that time. I was just a young Christian. And they started, because I wore shades, they started comparing me to Jim Jones, who I never met. I don't know what his what he preached or anything, but some of his followers came to our church and said that it was the federal government that went in and shot him and killed him and said that they were drinking Kool-Aid. But they said we were not drinking Kool-Aid. None of us would have committed suicide. And I don't know what they were, but they said because I wore shades, I was like Jim Jones. And then they tried to say we were like the Moonies and all this, and all we're preaching is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Department of Labor actually is the one that brought Sung Myung Moon into the United States. And they set him up in a bunch of other cults to look very evil. And then they tossed us true born of the spirit Christians in with them in hopes that people wouldn't listen to us. And people, they want everybody to believe that we're a cult. Well, why is it that people believe that we're a cult when we're just preaching the Bible? Why don't they think that the Catholics are cults, the Vatican, when they're the ones that have slaughtered so many Jews? That Hitler stated in one of his statements that all we're doing is what the Vatican has wanted to do for all these years, for centuries, is to kill off all the Jews in the world. The Vatican, the Catholics, have always hated Jews, and they've always hated Christians. They have nailed them to crosses, they've killed them, they've burnt them in ovens. And the other thing, too, is... Martin Luther was a very big anti-Semitic, and because he remained a Catholic, even though in the Lutheran Church now has joined in again with the Catholics. They're the same thing as a Catholic, and the Episcopalians, they belong to the one world church cult, and their head of that church cult is the Vatican. They're anti-Semitic as can be. Hitler again said, all we are doing is what the Holy Father in Rome has been trying to do for years, what the papacy has been trying to do for years, is to, these are statements that even John Hagee mentioned on his radio television broadcast the other night. So if you don't believe me, ask John Hagee, okay? I like some of his sermons, but there's a few of them that I don't like at all. Because when they go off to the deep end, I don't like them at all. But, you know, there's a lot of... I just take my hat off for him for exposing. So I'm not the only one that exposes the Antichrist. Hagee does, and from what I understand, I don't agree with a lot of the things that the Mormons do, but... even they have a lot of issues against the Vatican, or at least they used to, unless they've joined them lately, I don't know. All right? Okay, so let's keep it up here.
The beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. Verse 8, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Verse 9, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half.
So how could all these nations see these two witnesses of God's dead bodies laying in the streets for 3 days and what?
And half.
3.5 days out just laying on the streets. Nobody even liked them enough to pick them up and bury them. Not even Christians on the face of this earth would take them and bury them. And that's good, because then the people of the world will see that they were preaching the truth because of what God's going to do next. Okay, then what?
And shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry.
Yeah, because they were the witnesses of God. They told the word the way it was, just like I do. Just like Sue did. And that's why so many people that I just literally hate. It isn't us they hate, because if I wasn't preaching the word of God, they like me because I'm kind of a real hip person in the natural. I mean, I was in show business and made people happy and used to build big stars up, build people up. But now the Bible tells me what people aren't, so I don't build them up any longer. I build the Lord up, because He's the only something in the world and in the heavens. All right, then what?
They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth.
Well, and how did they torment them? By preaching the true word. Telling them, you know, you're just slobbering over each other and weeping and crying. Oh, you went out and had sex with somebody and you're pregnant. Oh, we feel so sorry for you. And you went and killed the little baby. Oh, honey, the Lord will forgive you for fornication, and will forgive you for murder, first-degree murder. Don't worry about a thing, dear. You really think God will do that? Huh?
No.
Absolutely not. That's for you, Billy Graham, and for your daughter, for your sons, and for your dog, and for your cat. Okay, then what?
Verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them.
Now here God comes back and endorses these two. The two that the people hate. God loves them so much that He raises them up from the dead. But the people, the sweaty, sweaty people in the world hate them. Then what?
And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them.
Oh, goodness. Goodness gracious. Then you're going to fear, huh? I would think so. Then what?
Verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither.
Come up hither. Hallelujah. God's endorsing these two big time, because the only two that stood up against the devil completely in every aspect. Then what?
And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud.
As Jesus did. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And their enemies beheld them.
Their enemies? Well, the apostle Paul, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? These two are telling people the truth, because the entire world is mesmerized by the lies of the Antichrist. The whole world is deceived, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
And so you're all the enemies of myself, my wife, and anyone else that really believes the gospel. But we didn't do anything to harm you. We just told you the truth, and for that you hated us. What a bunch of crumb bums. Okay, what else?
Verse 13, and the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven.
All right, now let's go to Psalm 62. Now this psalm is the Psalm of David. There are psalms of Moses, and there are psalms of other people. people. But this psalm is of David. Most of them are. And this psalm is to be read with strings, a stringed instrument, and with the choir director. But we don't have the choir director here, but we do have the Holy Spirit. So he will act as this more than a stringed instrument. Hopefully that these words will string into your heart. Okay, go ahead.
Truly my soul waiteth upon God.
See, a true person, he had armies of people after him because he really loved God. He tripped up when he got his eye off God for a while and on a female, and that was it. And he had no more blessing from the Lord, but he did make it into heaven because he never thought of a female again. His wives all committed adultery on him after that. And surely they all went to hell. They're not justified for that at all, but go ahead.
From him cometh my salvation.
Mm-hmm. So that's what the two witnesses would say too. Why? Because they were totally dependent on God. And just as the psalmist David was. Any other dependency is destructive dependencies. Then what?
He only is my rock and my salvation.
Yeah, yeah. Billy Graham's daughter, or is not my salvation. Read that line again.
He only is my rock and my salvation.
Yeah, I don't pay any attention to what she says. To do what she says, she's wrong, and she's like to me a nothing. She's a nothing, and she's not of the Lord at all. And to me, I don't care how many souls that got saved from just that one message that Billy Graham brought for year after year, because he turns around and says that he thinks that homosexuals, he doesn't know whether they'll go to hell or not. That's like disputing the Word of God, coming against the Word of God. So he's not my rock. Or salvation, the Lord is. Amen?
Amen.
He's the one I depend on. Then what?
He is my defense.
Right. So, I mean, here the whole world is against these two witnesses, but the Lord was their defense. He's going to pull them right up out of the, off the streets, and then pull them right up into the kingdom of heaven. And people all over the world are going to tremble and know that they hated those people for no reason at all, except that they hated God. You hate God and you're going to hell in the lake of fire. Okay, then what?
I shall not be greatly moved.
Then what?
Verse 3. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence.
Now, how long are you going to hate people of the Lord because they preach the gospel to you? You're going to be done what? Read that again.
Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence.
Yeah, you're weak, and you're nothing. You're like chaff, the Lord says. Then what?
Verse 4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency.
Yeah, what he's talking about is they want to cast God down from his excellency and those that are of the Lord. Then what?
They delight in lies.
Yeah, they delight in telling lies about us. I mean, I was sent to prison by the lies. And one of them called up and says, I'm the one that sent you to prison. And I said, well, you know, one of these days you're going to be judged for that. Okay, because what did you send me to prison for? And he couldn't, he just hated God. He hated the fact that he was put out of the church. Because he didn't really want to serve the Lord. Okay, then what else?
They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah.
Yeah, they're two-faced. They pretend like they like you, but they hate you. And they hate the gospel that you preach. Then what?
Verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from
Him.
Well,
I want to wait on God because I'm not expecting anything out of the world government. I don't expect anything from them but hatred. I don't expect anything from the world church because I know they hate God and anyone that loves God. So I'm not dependent on them. Read that again.
My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him.
Yeah, I expect that the Lord, one of these days, if I am killed, what the Lord told Sue and myself is true, that we'll be dead and He'll raise us up. You know that the entire world is going to be raised up. Every dead body. I mean, I'm talking about the saved and the unsaved. The Bible says some to everlasting life, and a whole multitude to everlasting destruction. They're going to feel the fires of hell, and it's cranked up higher than the steel mills in Cleveland, Ohio, the way they used to be when I was there. I don't know if the steel mills are even running anymore, but the entire economy of Cleveland when I lived there was the steel mills. When they shut down or they were on strike, everybody was broke, it seemed like. Then what?
Verse 6, He only is my rock and my salvation.
Only is my rock. The word of God is the rock I stand on. Now these whimpering, simpering, namby-pambies that just want to help all these sinners that have been saved, and then they went out and committed fornication, and then first-degree murder, abortion, they just want to go over them and just... That's their job, is to encourage people to go to hell. But my job is to encourage people, you better keep the commandments or you're going to go to hell for sure. And people say, well, you don't have enough love in your ministry. Listen, preaching the truth is love. Preaching those kind of lies that they preach is hatred towards you. They don't love you. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. Then what?
He is my defense.
Oh, yes. The Word of God, God is the Word. The Word of God is my defense. And I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Then what?
I shall not be moved.
You will not be moved from the Word of God. Now, these other people that you see on television, they're moved by the away from the Word of God, but I'm not. Okay? You may be moved, but I'm not. Well, what do we do? We've committed fornication and all that. Well, what you do is don't let anybody smooth that over for you. Let it your conscience convict you. And if you did it ignorantly, then get forgiveness from God and start believing the truth. And don't pay any attention to these kind of weasels. Devils is what they are. Then what?
Verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory.
Right. No person is your salvation or glory. Only the Word of God. God is your salvation and your glory and your power. Okay, then what?
The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God.
Right. I'll go for my refuge in God and my strength in God. Telling me if I was an adulterer or a fornicator or a murderer, I mean, there isn't anything any person could say to me that would cause me to think that I'm not, because I have to go to the Word of God. The Word of God told David, even David, the psalmist that wrote the book of Psalms, he said, I am a sinner, because he fell away from God. But he says, I don't expect anything from you, Father. That's it. And I know, and people were throwing rocks at him and everything. Nobody could console him and say, oh, you know, God is love and everything is fine, because it wasn't fine and David knew it. But he got on his face and he didn't want anything to do with any other female. He didn't want to have anything. Now, God gave him many wives, but God gave them to him. But what he did is went after somebody else's wife. As a matter of fact, the only wife that the other person had. Uriah had only one wife. David had many of them, and they were given to him by God. And so if God has given him many wives, there's no sin there because God gave it to him. But if he goes and takes somebody else's wife, that's adultery. And if it isn't God that's given you many wives or two wives or whatever, or just one wife, if it was God that gave it to you, then you needn't be ashamed of that at all. but you should take it because it was God that gave it to you. But where the sin was, and of course, that's, I guess, why we're so big in Africa, because so many of those people were Muslims there, and they believe that scripture in the Bible in the Old Testament, and they believe that God doesn't change at all. And so many of them do have multiple wives, and in Israel today they even allow four wives. But this isn't for everybody. God doesn't do that for everybody. And he may not have done it for you, or wouldn't do it for anybody in the United States. You just don't know. But I know that there are many people in the United States that do have more than one wife. And if God gave it to them, well, praise the Lord. But it's for sure God never condoned anybody to be a homosexual. All right, then what else?
Verse 8. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah.
Yeah, so God is, his word is true, so trust the word of God. If God said this is okay, it is okay. If he said it's not okay to murder, if it's not all right to have illicit sex, where you're having fornication with somebody, and the Bible also you can't have fornication, you can't commit adultery, you can't marry or have sex with anybody else's wife. That's against the law, and the law is still intact. But anyway, I see that our time is up. Don't hate the Word of God. If you hate the Word of God, then, you know, they say God just loves everybody unconditionally. That's a lie. If you hate God, the Lord says that he hates Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And he says, I hate all the workers of iniquity. Well, listen, my time is up right now. And if you want to get on the good side of God, if you want to be saved, and you may say, well, I don't want to get saved by somebody that preaches the Word of God. Well, then you're never going to be saved. But those of you that do, there may be one of you out there, maybe there's a million of you or more. I don't know, but right now I always end my tapes with the sinner's prayer. So if you want to get saved, then say this prayer after me, but say it to the Lord only. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I open up the door of my heart, Lord Jesus, and I ask you into my heart, wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, this prayer, and I know you've answered me, and I know according to your word, I'm saved. And therefore, I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Keep praising and thanking him. And until tomorrow, whatever message I get from God, be sure to tune in if you want to hear from the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.